Out of the 110,000 men who went over the top of the trenches and began this march across no man's land on that day, 60,000 were killed or wounded in this one macabre day alone. Over 20,000 bodies had piled up in no man's land by the end of that first day, and the screaming of the wounded resounded over the battlefield for days and days thereafter. What had been the largest military engagement in human history was over in 12 weeks. The British gained 6 miles of absolutely meaningless real estate. Over 1 million men had been killed or wounded. It was a colossal and horrifying catastrophe. Haig referred to it as a setback. The British troops, and I'll use a milder version of their reference to it, it was called the Great Foul-Up of the British High Command. The battles of the Somme and Verdun, in many ways, mark the end, I think, of the 19th century. After the carnage of these two great battles, there was nothing left of this notion of 19th century chivalry, this 19th century notion of, as I said earlier, the Tennyson's notions of the charge of the Light Brigade, and so on. What was occurring now at the front was not combat in the 19th century sense of the term at all, but slaughter. And that slaughter would go on. In the east, the Russians launched a major offensive between June and December, led by General Brusilov, which was initially a great success, capturing over 200,000 Austrian troops and inflicting great losses on the reeling Habsburg monarchy. And yet Russian losses were also staggering. By the end of 1915 alone, the Russians had lost 2.5 million men, and those grim figures continued to mount in 1916. By the end of that year, both Austria and Russia appeared to be at the end of their strength. The Brusilov offensive alone had cost the Russians almost 1 million men and broke the spirit of Russian troops. These numbers are absolutely staggering. And to Europeans at the time, there was nothing to prepare them for this kind of slaughter, nothing for this kind of devastation. This was not the Franco-Prussian War. This was not the Austro-Prussian War. It wasn't the Crimean War. This was something on a scale that far surpassed the worst nightmares of European civilians, policymakers, and military men, and no one knew how to bring it to a close. The slaughter would continue, indeed seemed to acquire a life of its own in 1917. The British and French attacked the Ypres salient in April. The battle went on for 5 days. It gained 7,000 yards, and 160,000 men perished. Tanks, poison gas, airplanes, mines, all were employed. The greater devastation, simply a more efficient form of killing, but with no military decision in sight. In June, the British had tunneled 100 feet below, quote, crucial points, close quote, in the German lines. They'd been digging these tunnels for over a year. They stuffed 1 million pounds of explosives into 21 shafts underneath German lines, and at 3:10 in the morning on June 7th, they detonated them. 10,000 German troops were entombed by the blast, the shockwaves were so enormous that plates rattled on the tables at Simpson's in London, 130 miles away. 9 British divisions with tanks charged at the gap in the German lines created by this great explosion. They occupied a ridge, and they lost 16,000 men. The victory had no impact whatsoever on the war. A deep gloom settled over all the combatants as 1916 had turned into 1917 and throughout much of that year. There would be no breakthrough on the Western Front, no one great battle to end the war. It was a war of grisly attrition that many believed no one could win. Only the war had won, as one commentator put it, and would go on winning. One of the things that had come that had been driven home in these awful engagements, these battles,